We are continuing to experiment with our worship sheet. You will notice today that it is 4 pages and folded. On the inside is the information that we have had on either side of the 1-page sheet. On the front, we have put a lot of information that we think will be helpful even for you visitors to carry with you. Information about phone numbers, email, fax number, things like that, as well as our services. And on the back, a skeleton outline of the Sunday morning sermon. I have basically on the back just put the main points of the sermon and left places for you to take notes. You may want to comment on that. I can put more there if you think it's best, other scriptures and other subpoints. But I thought it best to just do this and give you an opportunity to have a place to take notes if you like. We continue to ask for your comments. We want to make this little bulletin or sheet that we have in our worship services as successful and helpful as possible. And let me also mention that the announcements that are inside are announcements that we have in the office by 9:30 on Friday morning. And anything after that time, we have to go ahead and print the bulletin. Anything after that time, we will make in the services. But keep in mind, announcements that go in this need to be in the office by about 9:30 on Friday morning. You will notice the subject at the top of the back page for today is, Can You Blush? Jeremiah, the 6th chapter and verse 15, Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore there shall fall among them that fail. The time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. 2 chapters later, in the 8th chapter and verse 12, we have almost word for word the same reading. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fail among them that fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Can you blush? There are times when we may be a little bit embarrassed by blushing. Maybe something is said or something happens and we don't really intend to blush, but for some reason or other, the face becomes red and flush and we're able to blush. If you can blush, be thankful. If you can't, be concerned. I am convinced that most of the problems that exist in our world today can be traced to some extent to the fact that there are people who evidently cannot feel shame and cannot blush. As I listened for months to the discussion about the sexual activities of our president and others in government, and saw how conversations were presented and statements were made on public television, many times without seemingly any shame or any ability to blush, I began to wonder, where are we in this nation? Especially as I watched once particularly to an interview with Monica Lewinsky, in which she went into detail concerning what should have been private in her life, and into detail about several things that should not have been in her life, including the admitting to being involved with another married man and even having an abortion. She sat there and discussed that most of the time without any blushing or evidently any feeling of shame, just concern that it was now known about. Can you blush? Can people feel ashamed today? I'm convinced that one of the contributing factors, at least in the war zone and what's taking place in Kosovo even today, is because evidently there are some leaders who cannot feel ashamed even at killing people by the thousands almost every day. This past week was the birthday of Hitler. We're reminded of a man who evidently had no feeling of shame at murdering people by the millions. Someone mentioned to me just a few days ago that Stalin killed 22 million Russians, evidently without any feeling of shame. Can people blush? Can people feel ashamed? I certainly am not smart enough to know the factors involved in what has happened in Colorado in the last few days. I don't think there's anybody that understands all that may be behind this or involved in actions like this. But I am convinced that one of the factors is that many of our young folks are growing up without the ability to blush and feel ashamed. Maybe part of this is because they're growing up in a time when God is being taken out of the schools. I thought it rather interesting as I listened to the little brother of the girl that was buried yesterday. I believe their last name was Scott. And I was very much impressed with the young man and what he said and how he approached the situation. I'm not for sure that I could have with my sister having been murdered. But one thing that really caught my attention was that he said that during the time that the shooting was going on, he got a group of the students together and tried to lock them into a room, and he said, "I asked them to pray with me about the situation." And I thought as he said that, he was in violation of the law of the land to lead a group of his peers in prayer at a time when an event like that was happening. It makes you wonder where we are, where we may be going when you stop and think about this. Can you blush? Can you feel guilt? Can you feel ashamed? We need to understand that God has made us with a conscience. Romans 2:15 says that the conscience bears witness and the thoughts either accuse or excuse. What he's saying there is that God really made us in such a way that if there's nobody else present or nobody else knows about what's taking place, that there is something inside us that ought to kick in and to be a witness and to either accuse or excuse. That there ought to be something that would cause us to be able to blush or to feel ashamed even if nobody else knew or if nobody else was present. God made us with a conscience. It's interesting to me that in the Garden of Eden with the first man and the first woman, now keep in mind there was nobody else present, there was not another woman, there was not another man, that when sin came upon the scene, those two had something that caused their conscience to kick in to where they realized that they were naked. And they began to make clothes for themselves and to try to hide from God. Nobody else present except those two. But God had made them in such a way that there was something inside them that caused them to realize that there was something that should cause shame. And they began to be somewhat ashamed, it seems, of the situation that had developed. God made us with the ability to think. Proverbs 23:7, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. With the ability to reason, Jesus said, "How reason ye in your hearts," Luke 5:22. The ability to understand in the heart, Matthew 13:15. God made us with the ability to love with all the heart, Matthew 22:37-38. To trust with all the heart, Proverbs 3:5. To rejoice and weep, Romans 12:15. As human beings made in the image of God, God made us with the ability to have a conscience, which means the ability to feel shame. And that conscience, as we noticed in Romans 2:15, can bear witness and can accuse or can excuse. The Bible clearly indicates that that conscience is involved in our salvation. Hebrews 9:14 states, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." There's a companion passage in 1 Peter 3:21. "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The conscience is involved. In other words, that inner man must be involved in our becoming Christians as we're baptized in action to an answer to that conscience and receive the forgiveness from the blood of Christ, which purges the conscience. And even in talking about living as a part of government and as a citizen in Romans 13:5, he says we're to obey the law of the land, not just for wrath's sake, but also for conscience' sake. And it's interesting that the Bible indicates that that conscience can be trained either to be good or to be evil. 1 Timothy 1:5 mentions a good conscience. 2 Timothy 1:3 mentions a pure conscience. But Hebrews 10:22 talks about an evil conscience. God made us in His image. And that means, as a part of that, that He made us with a conscience that ought to be such that we can feel ashamed when we do wrong. And we can even blush when we do wrong. The conscience should provide us that ability then to feel shame. Most of you are familiar with 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9. Like men or women are to adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. He's even talking about our appearance there and our concern about our appearance and how the conscience ought to be involved with shamefacedness. It's my understanding in the Greek language that that word includes the idea of the ability to blush when something is not what it ought to be. If you look at Bible examples, you will find that people had the ability to feel shame. It's interesting that in the book of Jonah, the entire nation of Nineveh showed its shame with sackcloth and ashes. Makes you wonder sometimes if maybe our nation ought to be close to that. After Peter had denied Christ and had eventually realized what he had done, Mark 14 says that he went out and wept. Here's the man that was strong in standing for the truth, and he was strong enough, at least he thought, to say, I won't fall back, I won't turn my back on you. But he did. But the good thing about Peter that is so different from Judas is that Peter realized what he had done, and he could feel ashamed, and he could repent. And the Bible says he even wept. In Acts 2:37, those on Pentecost who were taught that they were involved in crucifying Christ are said to have been pricked in their hearts. They still had a heart that could be touched. And you know the result of their obeying the gospel on that occasion. Saul of Tarsus, who had been so outgoing to kill people, persecute the church, bring back people to be put to death, when he once realized who Jesus was on the road to Damascus, the Bible says that he trembled. He could feel ashamed. He did have a conscience that could be touched. And by the way, it was Paul who said in Acts 23:1 that he had lived in all good conscience before God and man to that day. He had a conscience that could be touched. And when he was taught the truth and he realized the difference between right and wrong, he was a man who could feel ashamed. He was a man who could blush. The Bible in many instances says that shame ought to be associated with certain ideas and concepts. In Proverbs, the 10th chapter and verse 15, or really verse 5, he says that we ought to be ashamed if we're lazy. One who sleeps in harvest brings shame. And yet look at the people today, and sometimes we may even be guilty, who can sit down and do nothing and be served by others without any feeling of shame, without any blushing whatsoever. Proverbs, the 29th chapter and verse 15, he says that it is a shame for a parent to spoil the rod of reproof. And yet today, it seems that many parents cannot even blush and feel any shame when their children go astray because they've not been disciplined. In Hosea, the 2nd chapter and verse 5, he points out that harlotry and adultery are shameful. I listened just this week. There was a discussion on one of the news programs about whether or not prostitution should be made legal. Not a question of whether there's any shame associated with it or whether it's okay for a woman to get out on the street and peddle herself, or even a man to do that. But the question is, should it be made legal? We've almost come to the point that such discussions are normal on a daily basis on our newscast. The Bible says in Revelation 16, 15, and indicated in 1 Timothy 2, 9, that nakedness is a shame. But people just don't blush today in the same way that they did a few years ago. Sometimes when Judy is shopping at the mall, I just sit on a bench out in the mall and just observe people. You can get an education. And sometimes I just can't imagine how anybody could be in public dressed as they are. In many instances, leaving nothing to the imagination. Judy and I sat the other night at Making Music on the campus of Freed Hardeman. And three times before the program started, each of us looked at the other almost with our mouths open in disbelief that a person could be anywhere in public, much less on the campus of Freed Hardeman, dressed as they were dressed. It's amazing to see what is happening today. Nakedness has almost become such something about which there is no shame. And the discussion of how people dress and how people act is such that many times people don't blush. I was sitting at Kroger's Friday in the car. I do a lot of waiting while Judy is shopping. And just over from me, about five or six parking places, were four or five teenage boys standing outside the car, talking loud enough that you could hear them all throughout the parking lot. And I was amazed at what they were discussing. Actions that they had taken or planned to take, words that they used. No shame whatsoever. Do you think they were blushing? Certainly not. Have we allowed ourselves to come to the point that we cannot feel ashamed about anything? Ephesians 5:12 says that we ought to be ashamed about those things that are done in secret. He's not talking about the privacy of lives. There is an area of privacy that all of us ought to have. In fact, it may even need to be greater than it is in most cases. But you think about the things that I've discussed at the beginning of the lesson today. And doesn't it seem that in many instances people are not as concerned about what's taking place as they are about whether or not they're caught? Actions and interactions among young people, and it's not limited to them, even those of my generation, that involve sexual activities and dirty jokes and pornography and many things, and people are not ashamed of it unless they're caught. He says we ought to be able to be ashamed of some things that are done in secret, whether anybody else knows about it or not. Last night I was listening to another program, and I learn a lot by watching programs and especially going from one to the other with the remote control. But they were talking about a man who had been involved in sexual activity, forced sexual activity with his stepdaughter for 20 years. And then finally, when he thought he was going to get caught, he left the United States and went into Canada. And they finally tracked him down, and when they found him, he was working himself into as a coach of a soccer team and getting some of the small boys to become his friend and trying to entice them without any feeling of shame whatsoever. The Bible even tells us that misbehavior in worship and a lack of respect in worship, particularly at the time of the observance of the Lord's Supper, is something that ought to cause us to be ashamed and to blush. And yet sometimes that's not the case. We ought to be able to feel ashamed. The conscience should provide the ability to feel shame. But here's the problem. The conscience can become seared. That's stated in 1 Timothy 4 about verse 2. As though it were burned with a hot iron. If you've ever been burned badly, you probably have a scar on your body today that says exactly what this passage is saying. You have a scar where there is no feeling. Especially if there were a deep burn, as it's grown back, the scar tissue is such that there's no feeling in it. It's past feeling. seared as with a hot iron. That's what he's saying about our conscience. And then over in Ephesians 4, 17 through 19, he says these people were alienated. They were in darkness. And he said they were past feeling, to where they were involved with lasciviousness and wanted to be involved in uncleanness with greediness. I think of that passage often when I hear some of these reports of things that are happening, especially child abuse, immorality. Seems like there are people who are living today who just seek after lascivious things and uncleanness, and he says they do it with greediness. Why? Because their conscience has been seared as with a hot iron. He describes even some who have once obeyed the gospel in Hebrews 6, who turn back and become so hardened that they cannot be touched with the power of God's word. And he says, as far as they're concerned, they'd have to have Christ crucified again, meaning that what Christ has done isn't worth anything to them, because they've turned back and their hearts have become so hardened. It must be, particularly when someone abuses a child, that his heart has become so hardened that he is past feeling. The Bible clearly teaches that the conscience can become scarred. Can you blush? God made you with a conscience. That conscience should provide you the ability to feel shame and the ability to blush, but it can become scarred to where you don't have that ability. It's easy sometimes for a preacher to preach a sermon like this and stop at this point. But I believe there is another side to it that we need to understand. Not only do we need the ability to blush and to feel shame, but we need to know how to get rid of our shame and how to get rid of our guilt. Over in the book of Ezra at chapter 9 and verse 6, Ezra says, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens." Now, this is just the opposite of Jeremiah 6:15 and 8:12. There, he said, the people could not feel shame and they could not blush. But here Ezra says, "I blush, I'm ashamed and blush to lift up my face." And he says, "In doing this, I've come to realize that my sins are so great that they're over my head." With that in mind, listen to Psalm 38:4. "For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as a heavy burden they are too heavy for me." And it's interesting to look at what's in the verse just before. "There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones." I think that's another way of describing the conscience. "There is no rest in my bones because of my sin." Now the psalmist could blush, he could feel ashamed. Psalm 51 would be a good psalm to read to really understand what he means there. But here in this psalm, let's go on down to verses 17 and 18. He says, "For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin." What I'm saying is that we need the ability to feel ashamed, and we need the ability to blush. But then we need also the ability to turn to God to get rid of that shame. Trying to bear guilt by itself is enough to hold any of us down and to ruin our lives. Our lives can be ruined if we don't feel guilty and shame, but they can be ruined if we feel guilt and don't do anything about it. So may God help us to be able to blush. May He help us to be able to feel ashamed. But then may He help us to turn to Him and get rid of those things that make us feel ashamed and blush, and turn our lives in the right direction to serve Him. If you've never become a Christian and you understand what Jesus did for you, you ought to be ashamed. If you're a child of God who's gone astray and haven't lived as you should, and maybe you've brought shame on yourself in the church, you ought to feel that shame. You ought to be able to blush. But then you need to turn to Christ and get rid of that guilt, because he will forgive. There's where the answer is. May God help us to be able to feel ashamed, and may he help us to turn to him to get rid of that guilt. If you need to do that, come as together we stand and sing.